Crowd of kids goes wild, and one of the students involved wails on the other even harder.
Crawl inside Coral Springs High School. Freaks out an entire classroom.
Most of us can recall seeing students fight each other in school, or watching it play out in shakily recorded videos posted to social media. Often, though, we rarely can think of situations where these fights result in tort litigation. The National Center for Educational Statistics indicated incidents of classroom disruption from student misconduct increased 56%, and rowdiness outside of the classroom increased 48% in the 2021 to 2022 school year as compared to years previous. When considering these statistics in the context of tort law, this begs the question, how violent are schools really, and where is tort litigation in all of this? This podcast is broken into three acts.
Act 1, Principal Problems. We'll start by easing you in and introducing a more familiar view, how school administrators view violence in schools and their preference on how to handle it when issues do arise.
Act 2, Teacher Tea Party. In this act, we will hear from two former teachers who saw violence in schools play out.
Act 3, The Kids Aren't All Right. Last, we will hear a story about three students who have pending civil action against a school district right here in Utah, and from a lawyer who thinks he knows why some cases get their day in court and why most don't.
I'm Rachel.
I'm Saren.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Wyatt.
And this is Class Conundrum.
Act 1, Principal Problems. As we'll discuss later, Davis School District in Utah has been a hot location for civil lawsuits in the past few years. Some of their bigger suits are related to student-to-student conduct. Davis School District does have a policy for student conduct and discipline, and the list is long and detailed. But let's see how these types of situations play out in real time and hear from someone working directly in the eye of the storm. Dan Linford is the superintendent of the Davis School District in Davis County, Utah. I talked with him to discuss how he and his colleagues view tort-related issues in their district. How often would you say Davis School District faces civil liability claims?
In terms of ever being involved in actual litigation, extremely rare. Threats of litigation, more so.
When these situations do come to your attention, what is the district's administrative procedure?
Let me tell you, like when we have a student-on-student, a threat of a lawsuit, because that's really all we've had to this
mm-hmm.
point. For us, we investigate. We're maybe the only system in the state, one of the few around the country that has a robust reporting system for civil complaints. On the students' badges, they have a QR code that they can actually make a report if anyone has been discriminated against or harassed. And when that happens, we actually have an office that investigates that has real autonomy for investigating and oversees those investigations to ensure that school level administrators are following policy and the law appropriately. And so whenever we get a complaint, it would be hard to find a district anywhere that does more than we do with each complaint. It's a lot of energy and a lot of money for those things. If we're informed of potential litigation, you know, we're covered by state risk and by the Attorney General's office. They are our legal counsel for those kinds of things. But when it's very specific niche law like special ed, we'll hire outside counsel.
So after you go through those procedures, is there an ideal outcome that the district wants to see?
That's such a great question because, you know, the simple answer is, yeah, we want to win the hearing. You know, we want to always be victorious. But as a school district, there are some things that are more important than that. One,
mm-hmm.
Improving as a district, we want to more than we want to win. We want to make sure we're better each time. So that's tier one. Tier two is we want to be a welcoming place. Those students that do want to sue us or litigate something, they're still our student. You know, they're our family, even if they disagree with us. Any given thing. So we want to restore the student to a space where they're most comfortable and let them get back to the normalcy of going to school.
Act 2, Teacher Tea Party.
So I'm Margaret.
I'm Saren.
We are both teachers. I was a 7th grade teacher in South Carolina.
I was a special educator and speech-language pathologist in an elementary school here in Utah.
And just one thing that kind of brought us to this topic was just different things that we saw in schools and how kind of crazy it honestly was. So just one thing, I would set the scene with my first class ever. We're sitting down. I taught small groups, only like 6 people in the class. And one kid in the middle of me going over the procedures stood up and threw a chair across the room and walked out. So that was my introduction to teaching.
You're like, welcome.
What about you, Sarah?
I mean, I work in special ed, and so some kids would lose their minds the very first day, and others would be, like, perfect little angels, and then randomly in October, just, like, it'd be, like, an explosion sound effect right there.
And one thing I want to point out, most of us know a good amount of different torts. These are torts happening in school. Like, it is, like, assault. It is battery. It is...
Intentional infliction of emotional distress.
Intentional infliction of emotional distress.
Probably negligence, I don't know.
Well, it's crazy to think about, because, like, when you now go to law school and you think back and you read these cases, I'm like, how is this case getting, like, to court? And these cases that were, like, things that were happening every single day.
Like, why are we talking about a kid who kicked another kid in the shin when there's literally a 5-year-old giving another 5-year-old a concussion?
I literally remember, like, I felt like that girl at the bar that's, like, standing in front of, like, a boy. And she's like, you're better than this. When a kid pulled a knife out on another kid in Spanish class, I was like, I am not the girl for this.
And I feel like that's one of the big issues that... For me, this kind of, like, increase in violence in schools, one of my biggest concerns about, well, not just for the kids who are in the fight, but how disruptive it is to all the kids. We'd have, because you can't just, like, restrain a kid and, like, physically remove them from a room.
For reference, teachers, at least in most states, cannot touch students.
Yeah.
They can't, like, break up fights. There's only certain people who can
do that. So, yeah, so if a kid is just, like, losing their mind and screaming and swearing and running around the classroom, and the cute little kindergarten teacher is just standing there at the front of the room with all the kids on the rug, like, so this is letter K.
I think about parents that are like, I'm so sick of this happening to my child every day. What can I do? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And it makes you question, like, even if we did have more, like, tort litigation coming out of schools, because honestly, like, I think, obviously I saw a lot of assault and battery, but, like, intentional infliction of emotional distress was, like, which maybe I don't know how that plays a role with minors, but, like, I think a lot of parents have a lot of cases for that.
Definitely.
And I get their frustration, because at least for when I was a teacher, it felt like there was no avenues I could give parents that could help them stop what was happening to their kid at school.
Act 3, the kids aren't all right. These problems aren't limited to certain areas. In fact, our local schools are seeing violence and other issues. In Davis School District, just north of Salt Lake City, there was a racially hostile environment and history of discriminatory discipline, which prompted the Department of Justice to open an investigation in July 2019 under Title IV of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The investigation revealed persistent failures to respond to reports of race-based harassment of Black and Asian American students by district staff and other students. The department's review, which focused on 2015 to 2020, found hundreds of documented uses of racial epithets, derogatory racial comments, and physical assaults targeting district students at dozens of schools. The department concluded that for years, Davis's ineffective response left students vulnerable to continued harassment, and that students believed the district condoned the behavior. How problematic are our schools if the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division is having to intervene to protect the constitutional rights of public school students? Here's Margaret with Keith Altman to learn more.
My name is Keith Altman. I own the law office of Keith Altman.
Could you give a little brief explanation? If someone kind of asked you what education law was, how would you describe it?
There's kind of three flavors of most of the cases. One flavor is students who have special education needs. You then have student matters where the student was disciplined. The third is Title IX, which are sexual harassment claims. There's another flavor also where there's just general liability.
One of the burning questions I had for Mr. Altman was, why don't we see any litigation? The case in Utah is the exception, not the rule. And as you heard with me and Saren, litigation was rare. Meaning so rare, we literally never saw it. So I asked him, why does he think that is?
Well, I think they go to litigation a very small percentage of the time, and a lot of that has to do with the economics of it. As a general proposition, the victims are usually not willing to fund a litigation. They want to work on contingency, which means the attorney only gets paid if they're successful. As a result of that, only the best cases go forward, and it's often hard to find an attorney who would be willing to do those cases on a contingency basis.
I have not heard that reasoning, but that makes the most sense to me, because if you're not going to maybe win or get that much from it. Lawyers are not likely to take it. So in Utah, there's this one case in particular that's kind of we're looking at in our podcast, but also is kind of just making news in regard to civil rights violations. So if you could speak to that at all.
There are a ton of civil rights violations that take place. It's the golden rule, which is them with the gold makes the rule. And when you're up against a school district, particularly at a primary or secondary level, they often act with reckless abandon in terms of abusing students' rights. Now, one of the problems that you really have is courts hate student cases, and they go out of their way to find ways to strike student cases down at the motion to dismiss stage. It's very hard to get over a motion to dismiss on a student rights case. It does happen, but that also severely limits the number of cases.
What do you think are some of the main barriers to civil litigation for students?
One of the big barriers, and we've been to multiple courts of appeal on this, is really what rights do students actually have, even at the university level? So we just see these decisions by courts who really want to give deference to the schools and let the schools manage things, but schools are not always the right people to make these kinds of decisions. And we see lots of mistakes, and it's hard. It's just simply hard.
So what do we learn from all this information? For one, schools are violent in several ways. Students face all sorts of tort-related issues within the school system. But, like we've discussed, rarely do these situations result in tort litigation. Why, you may ask? Well, basically every state has a statute regarding immunity of government entities from tort liability, and school districts and personnel are included. Utah's law is called the Governmental Immunity Act of Utah. Mostly, though, like Mr. Keith Altman revealed, there's no money in tort law cases arising out of school violence. If the money isn't there, neither is the justice system. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time on Class Conundrum.